Turn with me, please, beloved, to 2 Timothy, chapter 1. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy is the last epistle that he writes. And he's writing to a man whom he has been seeking to train for God. And I'm not wanting just to deal upon the training, but I do want to try and notice the character of the truth that he sets before Timothy in his last days. It's a wonderful thing to notice in the scriptures, not only as we've been hearing about men being raised up in evangelism, but God needs leaders. Leaders in God's assembly. Leaders are not a hierarchy, but leaders are men to be respected because they go before you to show you the way. And they themselves have a life of example. And that's a very necessary thing. There must be character before there can be the counsel. There must be reality before there can be the religious activity. And so each of us, even as we look into the faces of every believer who is here, sister or brother, young or old, we need to realize that God has his eye upon every one of us. And as we heard from our brother Marvin at the very beginning, he knows all and he's weighing all. I was reading the other day and it struck me when I was reading about God speaking to Moses about the building of the tabernacle. He says, I have chosen Bezalel of the tribe of Dan, for he is a master in working with gold and silver. He'd been watching them. And he's watching you and he's watching me, beloved. He's wanting to see what is there in that character that can be sanctified for the work of God. What is there in that sister that can be sanctified to be ballast in the boat, as we've been hearing? And sisters in God's assembly are a most important part. So younger brother, you are here today to get something for your soul. Remember, God is watching you to see which avenue you're going to give yourself to and your abilities, that you might be able to be a leader, a guide in the assembly of God. So I want to notice with you four treasures that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy in his last days. Chapter 4 and verse 5 really sums up the character of Paul's desire for Timothy here in this book. He says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. That word, making full proof, is a very engaging word, and it's a very challenging word. The idea means that you don't compromise any of the character of responsibility that's given to you. So I hope it will be an encouragement to us, because one thing I want you to notice in our reading, and we will have to look at other verses to see this, but in every chapter, he brings in the Lord Jesus. And brethren, that's the secret of it. Whether a man is a leader or an evangelist or the wife of a leader or the wife of an evangelist, young or old, it has to be with our eye upon the Lord Jesus. He's the motivation. He loves us. And that love is claiming us. And that love desires to use us, because the Lord Jesus loves the assembly. And he loves the work of the gospel. And he's wanting to see others in love with him, as we've been hearing today, give themselves voluntarily unto the Lord. So let's read in chapter 1, if you will, please. One thing I want you to notice, a treasure in each chapter that is given to Timothy as he would be left by the Apostle Paul as he's been guided to be a leader. Notice, if you will, please, at verse 13. Chapter 1, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now look in chapter 2. There we have a treasure that's to be valued. That is the emphasis the apostle is giving to Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, that is, some for public display, and some to dishonor, some are in the background, but they are both necessary. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that is, the wrong teaching of what you were reading in the previous verses, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And that word good is very interesting there. It means communicable good. Every communicable good work, helping others. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In that chapter, we have a treasure that's to be coveted, to be a vessel meet for the master's use. Chapter 3, if you will, please, in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And there, of course, we have a very sacred treasure that's to be discovered. And chapter 4, let us read, please, from verse 5 again. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Lord, graciously bless our reading of his word. Now, I was struck in meditating a little upon the Apostle Paul. There are three things that motivated Paul all his life. He mentions one of them in Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ. That's it. For me to live, Christ, God grant and may enter our soul. That's the reason we were saved. That's the reason that God is granting unto us his word, putting into our hand, that we might know Christ and that we might increasingly be like him. The second thing that he mentions is he speaks about the saints. And he says of himself that he loves the saints. And the word for love there is, I embrace every one of them. Brethren, that indeed, again, is a wondrous motivation for our life. Whatever you do, dear younger believer, don't you listen to anything that would divide your affection for God's people. There's many a thing that would be introduced to you about others. Somebody's got a crank or got a sick belly or something, and they talk about somebody like they shouldn't. Don't listen to it and don't repeat it. Embrace the saints. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and it thrills me when I sit on the Lord's Day morning around the remembrance of the Lord Jesus and see the beloved believers gathered. Every one of them have made a choice of conviction to be separated under the person of the Lord Jesus. It's not a question of the quality of what their life is in relation to what they have and don't have. They're separated to the Lord Jesus, and that's what makes it precious. And I'm glad to be amongst them, with them, to enjoy the person of Christ. And the third thing that got a hold of Paul, he's read in chapter 4. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus and the day when life will be weighed and all will be seen in the light of eternal value. May those three things touch our heart, brethren. For me to live is Christ, and to love all the saints, and as well to live in the light of that fight, that course, that coming of our beloved Lord. But let me notice these four little treasures that he puts into the hands of dear Timothy. May I back up just a moment? And I want to notice with you that it is a very interesting thing to see how God raises up leaders. If you turn to Moses, Moses is going to train Joshua. If you read in the book of Deuteronomy, you will find that he brings three things before Joshua as he's training him to lead God's people over the Jordan and into the land. He reminds them of what God had been to his people in the past. He says, whatever you do, Joshua, don't forget. The God that was with me and the God that led his people is with you. So the remembrance of the past. Sometimes, brethren, we think of the past and say, there were so many things, and there's this and that. Listen, God led in the past, or you wouldn't be here now, nor would I. So it's the leading of God in the past. The second thing he brings before him is the burden. The burden of association with the people in their present. And the third thing he brings before them is, keep before them the land that flows with milk and honey. And those three things he brings before Joshua as he's training him in leadership. And there are men that will be trained in leadership. Not only can you see evangelism in some, but you see shepherd work in others. And they're very vital men. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples as well in seeking to teach them and lead them. But I must hasten to notice these before my beloved brethren will get after me. Because I'm local. The other men, you're fortunate. You can go home again. I have to stay here. I'm glad to stay here. That's not the point. But I don't know what's going to happen when I do. So I'll be finished by my time in plenty of time. First of all, let's note the treasure of chapter 1. When the Apostle Paul uses the word hold fast, the form of sound words which thou hast heard. Now, the evidence in those words is there's something that the teaching has produced. And I want you to get a thorough grip of it. The word for hold fast there doesn't mean to grit your teeth and hang on in stubbornness. It's not that. It's not opinion that we're looking for. What it is here is get a thorough grip of it. Get to see the wonders of the detail of God's assembly. That's what he's dealing with in that passage, because all preaching of the gospel in relation and of you brethren that are preaching always has in view baptism and separation to the person of the Lord Jesus. That's the divine pattern. That's Matthew 28, and that is likewise Acts chapter 2. That's the way that the work of the gospel is intended to produce. And so we find, he's saying to dear Timothy as a leader, get a thorough grip of it. You're going to be able to see the beauty of God's assembly. And you know, dear younger Christian, you know what gives beauty to the assembly? The person of Christ. Every facet, the male, female element that's in God's assembly. You know how it starts with? Christ, the head of man. That's where God is beginning. He's wanting to magnify the wonders and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ amongst us. And that, dear sister, should guide you in your worship and in the manner of your appearance before him. And likewise, the same brethren. Don't take a Friday off idea when it comes to the Lord's meetings. We are not taking Fridays off. Blue jeans and shirts That's not the idea, brethren. The idea is the Lord is there. Everything is marked by his presence. That's what gives it beauty. And that's what God wants to see. He wants to see hearts responding to the wonder of the majesty of the presence of the Lord in the midst of his people and the wonder of the beauty of that pattern. And likewise, it is the same with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is honored thereby. This Holy Spirit guides always to give glory unto him. So he says, get a grip of that. And the second thing that he brings before him in that verse as well, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So it's how you hold it. How you hold it. The love which is in Christ Jesus. The same manner in which the Lord Jesus lived it and taught it and died for it and lives to teach it. And to guide it, to honor it, so also with us. How I handle his word, how I relate to his truth, in love, which is in Christ Jesus. But notice another thing that he mentions in the next verse there, that good thing. And you know that word good is beautiful, is lovely. It really means beautiful. That beautiful thing. It's speaking of the virtues that are in it. This is not the same word for good as I mentioned previously, good communicable. This is good by the character of his virtue. Every characteristic of God's assembly is to be marked by holiness. Oh, the beauty of holiness and righteousness and compassion. That's the character of it. He says that beautiful thing. As he mentions it in that verse, which was committed unto thee, keep. And as well, he's relating that to the gift that was given to him. Beautiful thing. As a gift is subject to the Holy Spirit, and there is exercise in relation to every one of the meetings, so he says, that's a beautiful thing. Whatever you do, Timothy, covet and treasure the marvel of that beautiful thing which was committed unto thee. So the first treasure that we have before us that's given to Timothy here is a treasure that is to be valued. The second one in chapter 2 and verse 21. Useful vessels that are brought before us. Now don't misunderstand the word dishonor there. Vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. God never makes anything dishonorable. Never. That comes from sin. That's the dishonorable. What God is speaking of is there are brethren, and God is going to raise them up for public areas. They're going to be seen more, and they're going to be necessary in that. But there are others who are going to be more in the background, but they are as necessary as those in the forefront. Absolutely. If you will look at it in the kitchen, if you will, the dishonor are the pots and the pans that you're working with. And you'll never be able to put them upon the plate to be put on the front of the guests for honor without those in the kitchen. And that's the same picture that I want to just apply it in that passage that we have here in relation to vessels unto honor. The main thing that he's bringing before him is, he says, I want you to see something, Timothy. Whatever you do, make sure there's nothing that hinders you from being useful for the master. You know, I often think of that, and I say in my heart, I just want to be there and be clean. If the master has chosen to pick me up, what an holy honor. Young man and young woman, it isn't you forcing your way in relation to divine things and in the work of God. Lie still by the master's hand. When he is pleased to pick you up, it's the greatest honor that you could ever have in his service. You cannot force that. You cannot make it. You cannot produce it of yourself. But be clean. That's what, notice what he mentions in that verse. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these. Now, let me point out in the passage that is here that that has to do with an awful lot with how you're educating yourself, not in the schooling, but spiritual. There's a lot of things that are being read. There are a lot of books by men that are great writers, but they're not going to help you spiritually. They lean the wrong way when it comes to the glory of Christ. They're leaning the wrong way when it comes to the leading of the Spirit. They're pushing you to the motivation by your own abilities, and that's wrong. But what we have here is God's way. And I want to tell you, you experience it, and you'll never want to go back to the other way. This is the preciousness of it, brethren. Look at that's why Paul is saying, whatever you do, Timothy, I'm going home to heaven. Whatever you do, get a thorough grip of the beauty of God's assembly. And the second thing is, you make sure that you keep yourself from wrong teaching and wrong motivation, that you might be a vessel that the Master may pick up and use for his glory, whether it be behind the scene or in the forefront. A master's hand upon the hand of a vessel. Dear young brother, may I say to you kindly, if you just yield to God and God puts it into your heart in relation to gospel work, if you ever get to see a soul saved, you'll never go back again. Never go back to the old way again. Never. It's like a little dog getting a taste of blood. He always wants more. You can't help it. Oh, to see the hand of God, to see the face of a newborn soul will thrill your heart, and it will cause you to realize the best place I can be is at the feet of the Master, waiting for him to pick me up as may be his choice. That's a treasure, he says. Make sure you realize the value of being prepared to be by the Master's hand. In the third passage that we read, in chapter 3 and verse 16, we have a sacred treasure to be discovered, the Holy Scriptures. Notice the language that he uses in verse 15. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It's very interesting who taught him. His mother and his grandmother. When you read in chapter 1 of this passage, you find that Paul speaks very highly of Eunice and Lois, mother and grandmother, because he says there was unfeigned faith in them. That is, there was uncompromised, absolute confidence and trust in the Word of God. And he says, I know it's in you too. Younger brother and younger sister and older one, unfeigned faith. You know, the moment that I trusted the Lord Jesus, that was unfeigned faith. I wasn't hanging on to anything else. I was lost with nothing to offer God. But he presents the Lord Jesus to me, the man of Calvary, on account of the ungodly. Boy, I saw it right there. That's my salvation. Unfeigned faith. I put everything in total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, that's what the Holy Scriptures are going to produce in you. That's what it's going to do, a study of the Holy Scriptures. Now, brethren, in studying the Holy Scriptures, please understand, God is wanting you not just to read your portion, but he wants you to be a student of his truth. Because his truth is what's going to produce the last verse of the chapter, a man of God. Now, the idea of the man of God there is a man whom God can use, yes, but it's a man who's been formed by God. How can that man of God, how can he be formed by God? By the Holy Scriptures. And as he brings before us some very beautiful truth concerning them, I will not take time to look at that. But you notice the Holy Scriptures. In itself, it doesn't say the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. The idea there is that they have the power to sanctify. The scriptures set us apart. As we read them, as we seek to obey them, we're set apart by them. And that is what's going to cause us to become increasingly like the man of God, a man who is formed by holy scriptures, able to make thee wise. And the word for the idea of being wise there is to have an intelligent knowledge. Now, it doesn't mean you say you're going to know everything about the scriptures, but you'll know what you're talking about when you have the scriptures. That will give you gospel preaching. That will give you intelligence in refuting the sad way that the world is handling things, and even denominations are handling things. They're wrong. They've gone off on an avenue for this and an avenue for that, and this man or that doctrine. Wrong, brethren. We keep them together in God's assembly. And that's what he's saying here in relation to the Holy Scriptures. Oh, Timothy, whatever you do, hang on to a wise understanding, an intelligent understanding of the dispensations, of the understanding of Israel and the church. They're separated. They're not the same. They're not joined together. They're totally separate. Learn those truths and understand the value and the meaning and the purpose of each of them. And then finally he mentions, I want to point out to you in verse 16, he says about them, they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is a very important word that he uses there. They are profitable for. The teaching of Scripture is where the power is, not my opinion. I could holler and shout at you and it's not going to make it true. I could tell you that's what you've got to believe, but that will not make it true. What God wants us to see is we need to learn the scriptures, because in teaching that truth, those scriptures have inherent power. And the Spirit of God, who is the author of the scriptures, that's what's going to help you when you're dealing with individuals about the gospel, or dealing about truth in separation to the Lord Jesus, or the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of the future. What are these? How are these things going to be powerful? Teach the scriptures. They are profitable for doctrine and for reproof. It's not me getting after you for something and trying to persuade you. Teach the scripture. That's what restores. That's what preserves. So the inherent value of the Holy Scriptures for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me close just briefly, if you will. I'm sad to say briefly on this last one. I love chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I hope with all my heart, to some degree, I'll be able to say I fought the fight. The fight that's here, brethren, is not a battle against others. It's the wondrous fight of the prosperity of the gospel in a world, and its value in my own life as a testimony for God. Each one of us are a little monument, just like Washington's monument. All the way around the bottom, you're going to read about Washington. And brethren, when we arrive home in glory at the judgment seat of Christ, all around your feet is going to be written the values of the fight. God help me to stay in the fight. And remember as well the course. Now, there's a difference between the fight and the course. The fight has to do with the necessary abilities and the going forth and the strength and the commitment. The course is how it's written. And that's what I'm to stay in. So you put the two together and we have a little treasure. He says, listen, Timothy, when the Lord Jesus meets you in glory, I want you to have what I'm looking forward to, a crown of righteousness. Now, the idea of the crown of righteousness there is the idea of a declaration by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was right, Paul. You did it right. That's the wondrous thing that we can gain in seeking to look forward to the coming of the Lord as a treasure. And do remember, beloved, In every one of these chapters, he leads them to Christ. He's the master in chapter 2. He's the Lord in chapter 3. And he's the judge in chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. Take a hold of the treasures. Live for the Lord Jesus till we see his face for his name's sake.